You're listening to the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
I mean, that's in the real world. And this is hard. I know. Talking about Tabitha, it's a good time just to point out, I mean, there is transferred intent. And so he was trying to kill Tabitha. Just that she was trying to kill somebody, and she was trying to kill somebody. She did kill somebody. And in that process, she shot and caused serious bodily injury to Miss Archie. So when you have a case like that, with those facts that line up perfect, I get the text, I go by the gun, I drive to Memphis, I show up at his house and I shoot and kill him. You gotta come up with something as a defense, right? So the defense is, I'm the victim. And I'm gonna talk about that a little bit in a minute, but I want to talk to y'all a little bit about who she is, who is claiming that she's the victim in this case. It's an almost 40-year-old grown woman who has a doctorate degree, who has been twice married and twice divorced, who runs her own business, and who voluntarily entered into and started this affair with Brevis Perry. She admitted that. I liked the way he made me feel. I was wanting that kind of relationship at that time. She knew he was married. She had dinner with, she played tennis with his wife. She knew that Tabitha wasn't aware of this affair. You know, that there's rules. Brodus had rules. Well, I mean, one of the rules was we've got to talk to each other on this app that's not easily traceable. Is that a rule? Or is that what you would expect? Two people who were married, because they were both married when this started, that they might come together and say, you know, we probably don't need to text each other and email each other on our phones and on our computers, because we gotta hide this. Is that a rule? Is that manipulative? Can't go out in public with just the two of us because we don't want to be seen as a couple. Is that a rule? Or is that what you expect? When two people who are married decide they're going to have a sexual relationship and hide it from their spouse. Is that manipulative? Did she ever say anything about he forced me to be in this relationship? Did I miss something with that? Or did she say she liked it? She wanted to be in that relationship. I can't put your plane tickets on my card. Is that a rule? Is that what you call that? You know, she couldn't make one trip, so she said, so I decided to go on the Jerusalem trip because I couldn't make it on the wherever the other trip was, Cuba or something. So hey, I want to go on this other one because I didn't get to make that one. Is that you're expected to go? Or you want to go hang out with the married guy of my friend at a hotel room in Israel? Which is it? I don't want you to call 911 if there's some kind of medical emergency. You were staying in a hotel room with the person you're having an affair with? Do you want her calling 911? How does that make Brodus Perry manipulative? She drank bourbon with him. She smoked cigars with him. She knew about his interest in this book. She read the book. She understood that he was interested in this non-monogamy lifestyle. She even tried to recruit one of her friends to help him out with that. A 38-year-old grown woman with a doctorate degree who run a business and has been twice married and twice divorced. You know, one of the things that happens when you kill somebody is there's only one side of the story that gets to be told, because there's only one person that's left alive. And so we spent a lot of time talking about how bad Brodus Perry was. We played videos for his widow and made her sit there and say, no, I didn't know that. He was lying to me. You know, it seems illogical, but it's sometimes easier to feel sympathy toward the person who's still alive than it is the person who died. Because that's the only story you get. And she made terrible decisions. And you feel bad for her because she made those decisions. But they were her decisions. If Brodus was here, would he say, I'm sorry, I wish I hadn't done that way? We'll never know, will we? Did he make mistakes? You know, I want to quote to you from the jury instructions because I think it's important, because you can't look at her and say, I feel sorry for her because she made that decision. This is a quote. You can have no prejudice or sympathy or allow anything but the law and the evidence to have any influence upon your verdict. So feel sympathy toward her, but don't let that affect your verdict. You'd be inhuman not to feel sympathy toward her. But we talked about earlier, during jury selection, how sympathy and prejudice are not appropriate, and how you look at the facts, and if you determine that she intentionally, unlawfully, and premeditatedly killed him, it doesn't matter how sorry you feel for her. Because you're not supposed to use sympathy. Was Brodus honest? He lied to his wife. He lied to his church. He lied to two people in a book club on an app where they sent videos back and forth to each other who he had never met. You want to be married to Brodus? Maybe not. Did he lie to the defendant? I don't know if we know that. I mean, she knew he was married. She knew they were hiding the affair. She knew Tabitha didn't know. She knew about the book. She knew he wanted the non-monogamous lifestyle. She knew that early in the relationship. She read the book. What do you lie to her about? Probably more honest with her than he was anybody else. may lie to her. Lying and being immoral is not a capital offense. Latosha Daniels also made a lot of choices. She got to tell you she's not proud of them. Rose didn't. She made a choice to start the affair. She made a choice to continue the affair. She even made that choice after she claims that he made her feel bad in the hotel room to continue that affair. She made the choice to hide the affair. She chose to go purchase a gun after she got that text. She chose to drive from Little Rock to Memphis. She chose to go to the Perry's house. She chose to take her gun into their home. And you'll note that premeditation, if done prior to the act, like, so you can premeditate a murder, and then you can go to do that murder, and you can be overcome by adrenaline, excitement, any other emotion you can think of. But if you premeditated it before you do that, and then you follow through with the murder, that don't negate the planning that you did beforehand. Why didn't she shoot him when the door was closed? Think about it all you want to. It's probably hard to pull out a gun and shoot somebody, even if you plan to. You can plan that all the way from Little Rock to Memphis, and it still may be hard to pull the trigger. She made a decision to shoot and kill Rose Perry, and she made a decision to shoot Tabitha. One of the defense witnesses was Dr. Binning. What do we glean from her? That's helpful. Because I don't doubt she was depressed, and that's what Dr. Binning said, she was depressed. And I'm not taking that lightly. Depression is an awful disease that affects millions of people. But Dr. Binning said, it doesn't mean that they commit violent acts because they're suffering from depression. Depression doesn't cause that, and depression doesn't cause you to lose your ability to plan, use judgment. And she specifically said that depression is not a cause of impulsivity. So if depression doesn't negate intent and premeditation, it doesn't keep her from being cool, calm, collective, it doesn't keep her from using reflection and judgment, is that helpful to us? You also heard from Dr. Binning about this defense under Tennessee law called insanity. And what she said was, there's a defense in Tennessee. And if a person is of this mental state where you can't appreciate the wrongfulness of your actions, then they can be found not guilty of the crime, because there are two things, the act and the intent. And she said, this insanity applies when someone is not able to appreciate the wrongfulness of their actions because of their mental state. And I said, well, did you evaluate the defendant for the criteria for insanity? Yes, it was not there. Insanity would not, the criteria were not met when I evaluated the defendant for that. You also heard Dr. Bidding talk about what she called diminished capacity, which in Tennessee is this, you might still be guilty of something, but you're not guilty of the more serious offense because your capacity is diminished because of your mental state. And again, I asked Dr. Bidding, a defense expert, a witness called by the defense, what about when you evaluated Latasha Daniels for this diminished capacity? Didn't meet the criteria for that. Well, Dr. Bidding, the defense expert, what about post-traumatic stress disorder? Did she meet the criteria for that? No. No, she didn't meet the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. Dr. Bidding, the defense expert, does potentially wanting to harm herself, does that negate intention and premeditation? Can't say that it does negate intention and premeditation. Well, tell us, Dr. Bidding, about her mental state at the time she committed this offense. I'm unable to provide an opinion about her mental state at the time she committed this offense. What about Dr. Bidding's testimony did you find helpful? I found helpful the fact that she said she did appear to exercise judgment just prior to this homicide, and she did appear to engage in planning in the moments leading up to this homicide. So we've talked about she used judgment, had a cool, calm, and collected thought when she told Tabitha to get out of the way. I don't want to shoot you. Dr. Bidding says she has cool, calm, and collected thoughts all day, up to the moments before the homicide. Then we heard from Officer Duncan, who said he pointed, I saw her point the gun at herself. She was holding the gun. When I got to the door, I said, drop it. She pointed the gun at herself. At some point during that day, did she intend to harm herself? I don't doubt that. But I can tell you what she had at that moment. She had the judgment and reflection not to harm herself. She had the judgment and reflection not to point that weapon at the Cardinalville Police Department because they had a gun pointed at her. Where's the lack of judgment and reflection? Was she devastated? Was she in love? Were her feelings hurt? Had she spent 2 years in a relationship with a married man and she realized he wasn't going to leave his wife? I don't doubt that. Did she know what she was doing? Yes. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for her. It's unfortunate for Brodus Perry's family. Unfortunate for the widow of Brodus Perry. But that doesn't change what happened. Did she plan this all the way from Little Rock? And I'm going to change a little bit and talk about something different here, and I want to be very clear about what I mean when I'm doing this. I submit the proof shows that she did plan this from the time she got the text. But I want to talk about why I think that's not required. It's impossible to know what she was thinking because we can't read her mind. Was she planning to kill Brodus and herself? Maybe. That doesn't negate the fact that she killed Brodus and that she did it on purpose, intentionally, with premeditation. Did Brodus ask her to go to his house? I mean, his reaction says no. The history between the two of them says no. A hidden app. Got to have somebody with us. We went 2 years, we hadn't told her. He didn't want Tabitha to know. So the history between them indicates no. So the evidence is contrary to her description of what happened. And again, I'm going to emphasize that because I'm going to make another argument. But I want to reemphasize. The evidence is contrary to what she describes as happening. But it really doesn't matter. She's asking you to consider voluntary manslaughter. And the difference is the killing resulted from a state of passion produced by adequate provocation from the alleged victim, sufficient to lead a reasonable person to act in an irrational manner. Well, there's no question she acted in an irrational manner because it's hardly ever rational to point a gun and shoot a guy 7 times who's not threatening you, doesn't have a weapon, and is not even, there's not even a chance he's harming you physically. No even history of him harming you physically. So that's never a rational act. So the second part of that is very important, because it can't be adequate provocation that makes Latasha Daniels act in an irrational manner, because she did. And all you would have to say is, yep, there was some provocation that made me act irrationally, so I'm not guilty of homicide. I'm not guilty of murder one. It says, sufficient to lead a reasonable person to act in an irrational manner. Did what happened to her, is that enough to make a reasonable person act that way? To point a loaded gun at an individual who's unarmed and not threatening you, and pull the trigger not once, not twice, not 3 times, not 4 times, not 5 times, not 6 times, but 7 times. Somebody talked to you about the classic law school example of voluntary manslaughter, where someone comes home and they find their spouse in bed with somebody else having an affair. And before they have time to reflect on that or cool down, they kill either their spouse or the person they're having the affair with. And that is the classic law school example. Latosha Daniels doesn't fit the classic law school example. Her spouse was not having an affair she didn't react immediately to some huge thing like that. Somebody hit my child or whatever. She knew this relationship was coming to an end. And she knew about this affair for 2 years. And she knew Tabitha didn't know about it. So again, it's not voluntary manslaughter. So I want to look at her story and set aside all the other evidence for just a moment. Not conceding there's not all the other evidence, but I want to just set it aside for a minute. What was the adequate provocation? He wouldn't walk me to the door? To my car? It's the only provocation I heard. Because right before that, she was talking, and she even made a decision, I feel like I'm being played, was what her testimony was. I'm embarrassed. I want to leave. Is that a person overcome but doesn't know what they're doing? And she had known since that morning he was ready for this relationship to end. And she had known for months that the relationship was not what it had been. That's not provocation that would lead a reasonable person to act in an irrational manner. It may be provocation that would break your heart, that would hurt your feelings, that would cause you to be really upset and really mad and really regretful, maybe ashamed, maybe embarrassed. She told you why she did this. And to convict, all you've got to do is listen to her. She told Brodus. I don't know if he heard her because he had a bullet in his head. You broke my heart. That's why she did it. The evidence suggests that she made the decision to kill him. Maybe herself that morning. But even if she made it when he declined to walk her to the car, it's first degree murder. There's no time period required for me to premeditation. Some of the things you can look at, she shot an unarmed, unthreatening person. She was making decisions that she felt like she was being played. She was embarrassed. She was walking to the door. She reached in her pocket and pulled out the gun that she had brought into their home. She didn't go back out to her car to get the gun. Was it for protection from her car to the door, or did she forget it was there? We heard both sides of that story. And she shot him 7 times. And killed him. How can that not be intentional and premeditated? Even disregarding all the evidence except what she tells you, how can that not be intentional and premeditated? Especially consider in Dr. Biden's testimony and all the things she did. Tabitha, get out of the way. Not pointing the gun at the police. Not harming herself. Where was this total loss of judgment? She was hurt. She was mad. She was embarrassed. She didn't like what Brodus had done to her. What Brodus had done to her. I ask you to follow the law, follow the evidence to her, to it. And if you do that, I submit you'll find that she's guilty as charged on all three counts of the indictment. Thank you.
All right, now it's time to select our alternates. Jewelry. I'm going to send you back with the instructions, the assignment, and the exhibits. I want to accept the firearm. The first thing you will need to do is select a foreperson. And when you have a verdict, you will write your verdict on the verdict form. I will review the form to make sure that it's in proper form. And then I will have the jury foreman read the verdict. So I'm going to show the people who are on the jury, excuse the alternates, if you could remain, you can finally discuss the case. So I'm going to show you excuse at this time.
Folks, are helpful if you bring your paperwork with you.
There's more of the Preacher's Side Chick murder trial of Latasha Daniels coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.